It's good to talk with you again. Before I get started, anything any of the team members would like to discuss?
I think we're good.
Good. All right, let's do a quick update on the goals for this portion of Supernova. First was to reduce the practice to its core. Last week you said that you were at 183 households, or you saw your way to getting to 183. I know more than 183 are in your practice right now, but you saw how you could get to 183. You are going to continue to work on that number. What does that number look like today?
We still have the same number. We worked more on getting to the assets and revenue all on one page for all that. So that's kind of what we are. But Scott and I need to now go through it, because I think some of the 183, I think, are still related households. You know, could be a son, daughter, relative type thing where we need to group households like together. So my guess is probably closer to 160, but we can keep working on that.
Just so we're communicating, Howard, if you've got you say you're putting a family together, if you've got a husband and wife and one of those people make decisions for both of them, that's one household. If you've
that's
got
right.
a husband and a wife who make their own decisions, that's two households. If you've got a husband and a wife and an adult child, that's two households.
Correct.
Even though you are putting it, it's good to get them all in the same grouping, so you all know where you are. You're still, even if the adult child is has $40,000, they don't get 12-4-2. They get the butler service, and for purposes of getting the practice down, they don't count.
That's what I want to do next is have Scott and I go through and name who's, a Supernova and who's a butler, because the 183 is not 183 Supernova.
Correct. Because if you've watched the videos, Rob Knapp talks about doing giving butlers 4-1. That's quarterly
right.
contact, portfolio review. My feeling is you can 2-1 works well. It cuts your work in half, and if you've got somebody with a $40,000 relationship with you, I think talking to them semi-annually, unless it's event driven, is plenty. So
we would agree.
It's important that you get the butlers out, and you know who they are. Again, what you don't want to have happen is for the husband, wife, and a couple of their adult children sitting around the Thanksgiving table, and the patriarch says, "Well, how's old Howard treating you?" And they say, "Well, we hadn't heard it from Howard in probably 9 or 10 months." So
right, that's what we want to do is we want to categorize them like on that spreadsheet, who's Supernova, because even some of them we may just give them annually.
I'm not. I think you get below two. I think if you go to annually, Howard, I don't think that's enough. If you're
so two touches and one in person.
Two touches and one portfolio review. Doesn't
Perfect. Okay.
That doesn't have to be in person. Remember,
right.
you're keeping the butlers are not small accounts that you don't want to get rid of. You are keeping
Correct.
Them for a reason. And if you're going to keep them for a reason, the right reason, as you know, is because they're attached to more money, is one's not enough. You got to talk to them at least semi-annually. And I hate to say this for the industry's sake, but there are probably out there, there are probably some million-dollar relationships who aren't hearing from their advisor semi-annually. I think I told you the story of a friend of mine here in Nashville who had over $5 million, and he hadn't had a meaningful conversation with his advisor in over 9 months.
Right.
So two, I think, is plenty. One's not enough. Now, just take a second. I don't want to get hung up here unless you want to. when you say you and Scott need to look at it and get it all on one, you've been looking at it on one sheet of paper. What's the significance of having it all on one sheet of paper?
I meant just categorize.
As butlers and non-butlers. So what you have are people who are staying with you, butlers, and people who are on the way out. That to me would be the three categories.
That's correct. Those three.
Okay. So you're still at 183. That's yep. 90. That's 90 per. That's smaller than most practices. That's good because it strengthens your brand and you can give more to your clients. And I'll say what I've said before, the fewer households that the two of you have responsibility for, the more time you have to give to your existing clients and the more time you have to prospect. So at 183, you're good. If you could get down to 160, now that's 80 apiece, and now your schedule starts to get a lot more flexible from your point of view. Got it?
Got it.
Now, if you look at those 183, let's just call them 180 so the math is simple for me. How many of those are your responsibility, and how many are Scott's responsibility?
It's almost exactly even.
Terrific. Okay, good. All right, Scott, you got any comments on the number of clients? You feel good about the direction you're going?
Yeah, no comments.
Good. All right. Now, so the first thing is to reduce the practice to its core. You're making great progress. You're already below the maximum number of households you have. You're going to continue to refine that. Secondly, it was to establish a minimum and a target minimum. Last week, you said you had an absolute minimum of 500,000. Again, the way that's presented is 500,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances. I sent you an email late last night, and I apologize for getting it out that late. Did you bring were you able to look at the average and the mean for your top 20 accounts?
Yes.
What are those two numbers?
The average is, I didn't do the math. I did the mean. The mean is 5.7 million.
Okay, so the person right in the middle, a client, 10 or 11, is over $5 million.
Correct.
Okay, now.
So let me just tell the group what you asked. So what he asked last night was to take the top 20 fee-based households as far as assets, and what's the number? And then he asked what's the middle, which is the median. And so the median, that person's market value was 5.7.
All right. This is important for a couple of reasons. It's important from a branding point of view. If you all say we've got a minimum of $500,000, that may look like small potatoes to a $3 million, $5 million prospect. So the way you present our absolute minimum is $500,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances. Having said that, it's important that you know a disproportionate share of our practice is driven by people who have north of $5 million. You got that, Scott?
Yeah.
Yep.
You got to make sure that your prospects understand your practice. Now, let's just role play.
Just to clarify that, Rob, so when you're saying that, you feel comfortable saying that because the top 20 households represents 44% of our revenue, and that's where you can feel comfortable saying the disproportion of our revenue is clients of north of $5 million.
Well, not only am I comfortable saying it, it's the truth.
Yeah.
If you tell me your top 20 clients generate 44% of your business,
mm-hmm.
Then it's that's a disproportionate share.
Right. Okay. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Well, And Rob talks about that in the videos. It's just, and the other way to look at this, if Scott, if you go out and bring in $500,000 relationship, that's nice. It's a fee-based relationship. You can generate some income off of that, do a good job for those people, but nobody's going to bring in birthday cake or cake to celebrate $500,000 relationship. Your target is really $5 million plus relationships. Howard, if you brought in today a $5 million relationship, that would be pretty exciting, correct?
Very.
So not only is it how you market your practice, it's also what you all are, what'll excite you, just from a business point of view. I can remember the first relationship I ever opened in 1971. You laugh at the name. It was Characters Feed and Seed in a little town in southern Illinois. I produced in St. Louis. So it's just fun. It gives you a blast of energy to bring in a meaningful relationship. Now, you're rolling this relationship out, and you're talking to a center of influence, somebody who's given you referrals in the past, and you and we'll get to how you roll this out in a few minutes. But you say to the, let's say it's a CPA, you say to the CPA, and we're establishing an absolute minimum of $500,000. And the CPA looks at you, Scott, and says, well, why are you doing that? What are you guys, you guys too big for your britches now? Why are you taken $200,000 relationships in the past. Why does it have to be $500,000 now? How do you respond to that, Scott?
Well, again, as we've talked, we are significantly reducing the size of our practice in order to, give a higher level of service to, clients like yourself that, meet our criteria.
All true. All true. Let me give you my words, and then you all put it into your words. First of all, that's an objection. And I was taught that when somebody has an objection, you got to make sure they know you heard what they said. And your response would be, I can see why you would ask that. Do you see how you're confirming that you heard it, Scott? You're not running from it. You're just confirming
right.
that you heard it. Jim, I can understand why you would ask that. There's two reasons we've established the minimum. Number one, we can never let the growth of our practice compromise the service that our existing clients receive. Make sense?
Yep. Yep.
The other reason is we always want to have the capacity in our practice to add people who fit our ideal client model. Or if you're talking to a client, we always want to have room in our practice to add people like you, Ms. Brown. So the reason if somebody would ask that, you confirm you heard it. I can see why you would ask that. I thank you for asking that question, whatever. We do it for two reasons. Number one, we can never let the growth of our practice compromise the service we're giving to our existing clients. The other reason is we always want to have the capacity to add people like you. Because what you don't want them to hear is you're not taking more clients. If you just say we can never let the growth of our practice compromise the service we give, you don't want them to make up that you guys are full. So that's why you say the second thing, and we always want to have the capacity to bring on people like you. Got it?
Got it.
Okay. Now, let's spend just a second on your ideal client. Again, your ideal client is someone who meets your absolute minimum, $500,000, and has the soft issues or characteristics that you and I, that we've all talked about before. Friendly, follow your advice, kind and respectful to all team members, need help beyond investing, need you to be the quarterback, there's trust there, and they're willing to learn. So that's the ideal, that's your ideal client. Now, I'm going to take just a second to detour here. Do you all have a CPA who refers business to you?
Not particularly. We send more to them than they send to us.
Okay. Have you ever asked them what their ideal client looks like?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Can you see how that's a powerful question? We're talking here about you all branding yourselves and what you want. I think it would be a good idea to say to somebody who's a CPA who's referred to you, tell me what your ideal client looks like. My CPA will only take people who generate a certain level of fees. That's the way he's decided to run his practice. He's also just doesn't deal with everybody. He's a little quirky. Maybe that says something about me, but he wants people he likes, and he wants people who generate a certain amount of fee income. So you want to make sure that you can always talk about your ideal client. You also want to be asking any referral sources, people who might be CPAs or estate planning attorneys, tell me what your ideal client looks like. You've got CPAs out there who specialize in small business, so on and so forth. It just strengthens a relationship. So the three things we've talked about today, again, this is week three. We have four things we want to get accomplished or be in the process of accomplishing in the first 4 weeks. You're getting your practice down. That's always, you're always going to be doing that. The way you grow in this, in a supernova practice, is you raise your minimum and you lower the number of people in your practice. That's how you do it. You're 183. You think you've probably got around 160. You're going to continue to work on that. Number two, establish a minimum and a target minimum. That target minimum is that absolute minimum is $500,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances. And it's important that your real target is the $5 million range. You know what your ideal client looks like. Now we get to the final goal for the first 4 weeks, and frankly, this is a lot of fun, is to let your clients know about, we're talking here about the clients you're keeping. We'll talk next week. I don't think we'll get to it today, but next week we'll spend a few minutes on the folks who are leaving your practice. But today we're talking about the folks that you're keeping. You let them know about the refinements to your practice. I'll say what I've said to you before. You are not changing your practice. Changing is sound like it's bad and you're blowing it up and starting all over. You're refining your practice. So the conversation starts a little bit. I'm going to give you just an idea how to start this conversation. You use what you're comfortable with. We have been working with an outside consultant as to refinements in our practice. He's made some suggestions. We're really excited about them. Do you have a minute for me to share them with you? This does not have to be a standalone call. If you've got somebody coming in tomorrow, and it's great to roll it out face to face. So we've been working with an outside consultant. The other way to start is from time to time, we take a step back and look at our practice and see if there are things that we want to refine. We've been doing that over the last couple of weeks, which is what you've been doing with me. We've been doing that over the last couple of weeks. We are going to make some refinements that we're excited about. Do you have a minute for me to share them with you? Scott, you got it?
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Okay. Howard, you good with it?
I'm good.
Okay. Now,
Scott, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have an example that, so we have a client that's a supernova client, okay?
and his son is an attorney who refers basically estate work, you know, junk work to us, okay? Never referred any meaningful business. But, you know, the family relationship has been one for a long time. The dad gives us, you know, all, we have all of his, you know, all of his business. You know, he's certainly, he's in our top 40 households. The son is not. The son, you know, being his estate planning attorney, is present at many of the meetings for his family because his dad and mom are aging. So, you know, this is a perfect example of somebody that I'd like to tell them, I really don't have any capacity to do your accommodation estate work anymore. But at the same time, how do you articulate that and go through the whole scenario of changing our business and capacity and growth and minimums and all that and not alienating him because he's a butler in our book in the whole process?
All right, let me – I'm getting a little feedback, Scott. I don't know if it's where you're sitting, but let me just repeat quickly so I can answer, make sure I answer your question. You've got a top 40 client who has a son who's an estate planning attorney. He never sends you any referrals. He gives you tasks to do, junk work, as you call it. Am I summarizing it well?
Yeah.
Does he have the ability to be a client of a client himself?
He's a butler. Yes.
Okay.
Do you think so?
And you're referring to him.
Yes, I do.
Okay, but he's not referring back to you.
Nothing that would meet any of our minimums.
Okay. All right. I think there's two ways. There's three ways. One way is to never have a conversation because you don't want to risk the top 40 account. I'm not suggesting that.
Right.
I'm just giving you the alternative.
Right.
The other is.
I understand. That's why I asked the question.
No talent in identifying, making up questions, is it? It's solving things. The next one is having a conversation with the attorney. Just like if he were a standalone attorney, wasn't attached to the top 40. And here's what that conversation would be like. It's along this line. What's this attorney's first name?
David.
Okay, David. Over the years, we have referred people to you. And if what I'm getting ready to say now is true, then say it. If it's not, don't. We always circle back when we refer to make sure that our client is getting the service we want them to have. I did that with the folks we have referred to you. And, David, I have to tell you, they're happy with what you do, and we appreciate that. However, in reviewing this, I've noticed that you have never – referred back to us. Is there anything that we have done or possibly not done that makes you uncomfortable referring to us? Now, this is something we teach later, but why wait? So you're going to them and think about it. Who are you putting the onus on here? You're not figuratively pointing at their chest and saying, how come you never refer to us? You're taking responsibility. Is there anything, David, that we have done or possibly not done that's made you reluctant to refer to us? You got it?
Well, also I think it's back to what you asked about accountants, is what is your ideal client profile? You know, just like we're trying to identify our minimum client profile, the type of people we want to work with, I think his client profile isn't matching what our client profile is. Maybe. I'm
responding to the specific situation that you put up. I think to bring up the ideal client here muddies the water.
Okay.
Is there anything that we have done or possibly not done that's made you reluctant, caused you to feel reluctance to refer back to us? And then you shut up.
But I think he has referred stuff to Scotty, just not the right size.
Well, I said that it's junk work.
Right. That's what he did. But he's not. He didn't get that.
He
didn't get that.
Yes, he did. Oh. At the beginning.
Well, what I was making up, and I didn't fully understand. I thought you were, you know, he had you looking up cost basis and all that junk. He's referred smaller relationships.
Yeah.
He's referred smaller.
When I said estate work, just liquidation, small estate, transfer stuff, crap.
Yeah, well, that's really not referring to you. That's
right.
That's just an accommodation. So
exactly.
If he would say, well, I have, you know, blah blah blah, then it gives you an opportunity to either talk about the refinements to your practice or refer back to that conversation. If you remember back in January, David, we talked about the refinements that we've made to our practice, and one of those being relationships of a minimum of $500,000, and you understand why we're doing that. I just think you get it. If you hadn't had that conversation, you have it. If you have had it, you refer back to it. I worked with a UBS guy down in Atlanta, and I'm not gonna, there's no embellishment in this story. None. I mean, maybe he embellished it, but I'm not. He had given this attorney 46 or 48 referrals and never had gotten one back. And he called her, and she said, well, I give all my referrals to Goldman Sachs. Now, that makes no sense. If he got a new attorney, by the way, to refer to. So you've got to make sure that this attorney, he may say, I give all my referrals to somebody else. He may say, I don't give referrals. It's just not what I do. I don't want that responsibility, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get in the middle of relationships or whatever. But at least you're going to get the answer. If he says, well, I have, you know, my college roommate works at Morgan Stanley, and I give him all my referrals. And then you say, well, thanks for telling me, and then make a decision where to go from there. But here's what we're doing. We're talking about this attorney, and we're already working in things that we've talked about your brand, about what you do.
Right.
So you have to make the decision. If he's giving you that junk work to do, does it make sense to do that? Knowing that, if this attorney was not attached to a top 40 client, you would, and he never gave you referrals, you would probably have a more stern conversation with him, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. that's true. But that's why you go and ask the question. You know, is there anything we've done that's caused you to be reluctant to refer people to us? And then
I think it all ties together what we've been talking about. I think we have to tell people what types of clients we're looking for, and I think we have to start to say no, that we have to control the number of people that come into our practice.
Exactly right. The way that you do that, one of the ways you do it, I mean, if you've got clients giving you $35,000 referrals, and I'm just making it up, and you're not, if you have the conversation that with your clients about the refinements you're making in your practice, and you say you have a $500,000 minimum, they're not going to give you those referrals that you don't want. If you have that conversation with David, he probably will. My guess is he will quit referring that business to you, and you don't care. That's not what you do.
Right.
Right? All right.
Back to the service level, we can't continue to service those kind of people. It's just not going to work.
Let's keep the focus on the client. Among all of us on this call, that's absolutely right. But when we're talking to clients, we keep the focus on the client. We cannot let the growth of our practice compromise the service we're giving to our existing clients. Do you see how the focus is on the client?
Right.
Huge difference. Huge
yep.
difference. Howard and Scott are taking care of me. It's not about Howard and Scott taking care of themselves. All right. Now, we're at the bottom of the hour. You all have a few more minutes?
Yes.
Okay, let me just see when my – let me just look at my time, my calendar. I'm in good shape. All right. Let's go. Scott, let me start with you. Give me your script. Give me your bullet points. Tell me what you want to get across to your clients as you call them and tell them about the refinements to your practice.
Well, I guess what we've already been talking about, you know, basically is understanding that, you know, that we're redefining our practice and that we're reducing the size of our practice in order to, you know, control the size and to continue to serve you, you know, in the way that we've been doing it. You know, so it's a higher level of service and, you know, we're trying to implement all these things and reduce our practice to maintain the you know the high level of service that we've always been giving you, and that whole you know thing we've been talking about all morning.
Okay, now you use the word we're trying to implement this. This is not about trying to the client.
Right,
We are implementing.
Exactly.
And you said redefining your practice. To me, that sounds like I just like the word refining better.
Right.
Redefining, it sounds like you're going in a new direction. You all have great client relationships already. You're just refining, not redefining those. You're refining, not redefining the practice. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's, you know, I want to be specific here. Tell me some of the points. It's one thing to say that you are making some refinements. But there has to be a little bit more meat on the bone than that. You've got to make sure that your clients understand what it's going to be. So hit me with just some bullet points of some of the refinements you're making to your practice.
Well, you know, monthly scheduled meetings.
Okay.
Rapid responses to your inquiries.
Okay.
You know, integrated financial planning, ongoing, you know, relationship with you as a advocate to us.
Yep. You're establishing a minimum, correct?
Right.
Make sure they understand that's for new business. If you've got somebody who's got 450 with you, and you're keeping those people, which is fine. You don't want them to hear they're getting fired.
Right.
So you're establishing a minimum. And you said you're making, I don't remember your exact words, but what I heard was you're shrinking your practice. You're not shrinking your practice. You are reducing the number of people in the practice. Big difference.
Right.
What else?
Trying to create capacity.
Say it again.
I said trying to create capacity.
For what reason?
I guess so we can add people like you.
Exactly right. And you're creating. To deliver this service model, you can't do it with an infinite number, too many people. I'm reducing the number of people in the practice so that we can continue to offer the service we've offered in the past and beyond that.
And what we've been doing all along is acting as a quarterback and to coordinate, you know, your CPA, your attorney, your other professionals, you know, maybe an insurance agent with us in coordinating a team approach to your financial and investment needs.
there you go. That's why it's important that you either write your script out or that you have the bullet points that you want to cover. Now, I will tell you what will happen. After three of these conversations, you're not going to need your script. You might want to keep your bullet points in front of you, but it's just going to become second nature. You're going to get encouragement from these calls. People be saying, gosh, Scott, I really like what you're doing. This sounds terrific, whatever.
We had Louis Pressetteri. I don't know if you know him or not. He's a coach that we had 20 years ago.
Leo Pressetteri.
Yeah.
Leo
Pressetteri. I know the name.
Okay, and the biggest thing that and what you're saying is exactly the same, is that you have to articulate things with speed and passion and competence. So to your point, by reviewing the bullet points, by doing it several times, you're able to articulate those thoughts and things with speed, passion, and confidence. And that's what it all boils down to, practice.
Yeah. People, that's what we call energy. People don't want your time. They want your energy, your enthusiasm. And when you present this and you're enthusiastic about it because you know what it'll do for your clients and for your practice, it's the clients feel that. Now, let's remember, this isn't you tell them about it and they're going to be going, you're going to start this immediately.
Right.
You have to, you say, you roll it out. You say, do you have any questions? No, this all sounds terrific. Well, who's going to be responsible for scheduling in the team?
Patty.
Okay. Patty will be in touch with you in the next couple of weeks to schedule a time that works best for you. Now, let's think about this. We've got, when do you want to kick this off? This is January the 24th. We've got some things to do before you actually start. I would think the time that you are going to kick this off is in March.
Sounds about right. Give us a month.
So we'll have plenty of time to get it done by March. So the way you end that conversation is, we plan to begin this the schedule calls in March. Patty will be in touch with you sometime in the next couple of weeks to schedule a time that works best for you. Got it?
Yep.
All right. Now, let's role play here, or let's go through a progression if you get some pushback. If you go through this and a client says, well, Howard, I like all of this, but I just don't think I want to do the monthly scheduling. You've got to demonstrate you heard them. But you also got to demonstrate that you think this is a good idea. Scott, if you called a client with an investment idea and they say, well, I don't know, Scott, I don't want to do this. And you don't stand up for your idea and you don't make sure they understand why you like it. If you just roll over and say something along the lines of, well, okay, I'll call you back if I got something I like better, you've just demonstrated, in my mind, that it's not important to you. So when a client gives you some pushback, you say, I understand this is different. Could we try it for 3 months? And if it still feels like too much, we'll dial it back. Scott, do you see how you're standing up for your idea?
Yep.
And the client says, Scott, you're not listening to me. I do not want monthly scheduled contact. And your response is going to be something along the lines of, Mr. Jones, I didn't get to this point in my career by not listening to my clients. Could we go ahead and schedule the quarterly reviews? I've never had an FA tell me that the client wouldn't schedule quarterly reviews. I'm not saying it's never happened. I'm just saying that nobody's ever said that to me, an FA. So the client says, yeah, that's fine. Okay, so here's what happens in that case. The client has the quarterly reviews on their calendar. You've got all 12 on your calendar, Scott. And when their name pops up for a non-review call, you just pick up the phone and call them. The number one driver of client satisfaction is proactive FA contact. So if they don't like the scheduling, they're still popping up on your calendar, and you make the decision whether this would be the time to call them. You got it?
Yeah, that's great. Because it gives you flexibility, and you can make decisions. And as you said, what do you say the first rule is common sense?
Common sense, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so you, if they give you pushback, you ask them to try it for 3 months. If they still say they don't want to do it, you demonstrate that you're listening. I hear you. I didn't get to this stage of my career this long by not listening to my clients. Would it be okay if we went ahead and scheduled the quarterly reviews? And they're going to say yes. So here's – if you go into this thinking that everybody is going to say, I want to do this, 100% of your people, that's an unrealistic expectation. You're going to get some one-offs, but what you're doing here is setting up a repeatable service model for your clients that will serve them and serve you very, very well. So don't get disappointed or flustered if they give you a little bit of pushback. It's okay. Now, any questions?
No, I think that's good.
Okay, Howard, anything that you would add to what Scott, monthly schedule, rapid response, establishing a minimum, reducing the number of people, all the things we've talked about, is there anything you're going to add to that list?
No, I liked how he added the coordinated effort, higher level planning. I think he got most of them.
I do too. Now, and one other thing to think about, not one other thing, but just think about this. When you're giving this to your clients and you're telling them about the refinements, guess what? They're going to be better able to define you to folks that they might want to refer to you.
Right.
Scott, I talk to Scott on a monthly basis. They get back to me very quickly. They intentionally keep their practice to a fewer number of clients so they cannot – just all the stuff. I mean, you all are running a boutique firm with all the advantages of working for a bigger firm. This is a big deal. So the I would ask you to I don't know if you would be more comfortable role playing with each other before you get on the phone, but the number one bit of homework today for next time is to have as many of those calls as you can have.
Okay.
Tag them on. You all between now and the time we talk next week are going to talk to a lot of people. Practice it. Again, after you say it two or three times, it's just going to become part of what you do. Now, we're going to get into we're getting real close to starting the organizational piece. If you would look at your homework, and again, I told you last week, we're not going to get to everything exactly in order. I will come back and pick up everything. So I want you to go to page 30. Let me look here. 33 in your manual. Okay, number one. We're starting that this week. We're a little bit behind a perfect schedule, but folks, we had a lot of foundation to build before you could have started making these calls 2 weeks ago. I wanted you to be fully armed. So you're going to continue to work on that. Number two, we work with a folder system. I've given you the phone number and the email address. The name of this company is On Time Supplies. If you go in there and in the search engine type in Supernova, it'll take you right to the supplies that we want you to order. If you have any questions, give Cindy Bowie a call. Her number is 317-650-1500. Or pick up the phone and call me. I can help you too. Cindy's more fluent, has a relationship with these people at On Time Supplies.
I think Patty ordered some of it. I'll have to find out what she's ordered.
Okay, let's see. I've got a few more minutes. Let me just go to On Time Supplies. Are you by a computer, Howard?
No, we're not. But Patty's already ordered some, Rob.
Okay.
I think we're good.
Okay. Then I'm going to. Okay. Number three, we're just not there yet. This is
okay.
We've moved this five-star leadership model up a little closer into the moved it up in the program. It's just not time to do that yet. The most important thing we got to do is to roll this message out to your clients.
Sure.
Three and four, we're not two yet. Number five, I think you all are in good shape. I think everybody's engaged. No, we work every once in a while with some people where not everybody is as enthusiastic as other people in the team. This is a big deal. Everybody has to be involved. And then I don't sense that you all need an intern to get this organizational work done. I think you got the capacity to get that done. Agreed?
I think so. We'll see.
Yeah, okay. All right, so the homework is to get these calls started and get them done. Now,
okay.
I would rather, if my only two choices were to get them done in a hurry and you and Scott say, I didn't feel real good about that process, or take a week or two longer, but you feel really good about the process, I'm always going to default to getting this thing done well. I'm not saying it's not important, don't make it a priority. I'm just saying I would rather you have five calls rolling this out that go really well and you feel good about it than have 10 and you just didn't get your message, the message out that you wanted to get out. So we're just get as many as you can get done. If you have a couple of calls, you don't feel like they've gone as smoothly as you would like, pick up the phone and call me. I'll role play with you. I can be the nastiest client you ever talked to if you want me to. So just get it done and take my word. Just trust me that the more of these calls you make, the more comfortable you're going to get, and it's going to go a lot. They're just great calls to have. You all had to make ugly calls in your life in this
right.
business. This is the other end of that. These are great calls. You're basically saying, I'm making some refinements to my practice so that I can spend more time with you. That's basically what you're saying.
Right.
That's a good message to have. I mean, doctors are doing that now. I'm sure you've heard about concierge medical practices. Doctors
right.
are cutting down so they can, we have a concierge doctor. You can see them anytime you want, literally. So it's a great brand that you're rolling out. All right.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Call me if you got any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Talk to you next
All right.
week.
Bye.